Hi everyone, I'm Kari.
Hello everyone, I am Bree.
And this is TSI Talk. Welcome back to
this is our third episode recorded. This is our third episode recorded in 24 hours.
Back to back. We're just unstoppable at this point. It's been a hot second since we have recorded the last episode.
More like 10 minutes.
So we're recording everything back to back. And before we get into today's episode, now we're 7 weeks.
Okay. No, like only 8 weeks. It's only 8 weeks because it's 11 weeks as recording this. Then that'll be 10 weeks for the episode we recorded Friday. 9 weeks for last week, the episode we recorded right before here. So it's 8 weeks now.
8 weeks now. 8 weeks, 2 months away. It's coming. 60 days. So by now we'll probably have more information, I think. Maybe. Maybe we already got some maybe promo footage or something like that. And when we do, please be sure to be following me on Twitter because I am going to be breaking down every single promo trailer, anything that they throw at us. I'm going to be breaking down and searching every frame for callbacks or Easter eggs or even something new for the new season.
Hopefully new theoretical information.
We're going to be on the lookout for new information, and everything that we find out, we're going to be reporting back to you. So be sure to be following us on our social media and following me and Bree on social media too. Our Instagram.
I'll be sharing that shit. Like, well, I mean, I'll be sharing all the stuff. Like, no tomorrow. Even if I have to get my phone on my breaks, because that's the only time I'm allowed to have my phone, otherwise it has to be locked away. Like, no tomorrow. Sometimes.
Our Twitter account is at CSI Talk Podcast. Our Instagram account is at CSI Dot Talk. My Twitter account is at Cap, short for Captain Marvel Sino, and Bree's Twitter is at GSR12021. Yeah, because they did. They won.
That was by being petty.
No, that's okay. There's just facts. It's just facts. So yeah, be sure to be following us on every social media, because we're going to be breaking down all those trailer, all that footage. We're going to be breaking down, like, giving you all the juicy details. So,
my Instagram is Sarah Seidel, 1998.
We do have a great source of information, but we're not going to be revealing until everyone knows, because we do not break that person's trust.
Nope.
So, but rest assured, it's going to be great. So, before we get into today's episode, this is a safe space for you. So whenever you want to come here to just shut off the world, keep the world around you, and just listen to two girls talking about their favorite science crime fighting show, we got you. So today, as we said last week for us a few minutes ago, we're going to be talking about DB's and Sarah's relationship now. DB gets in season 10, as we said last week, to fill a
blank. No, it's in season 12.
Is it season 12? I'm sorry.
Past season 10, Sarah comes back. Season 11 is Ray's downfall.
Yep. So DB comes around in season 12 Dara is back for real in season 10. And their relationship, I think Sarah is a bit close off in the beginning, but then they actually hit it off pretty good. I mean, as I said last week, this family just became, you know, dysfunctional a bit. You know, they had formed a great dynamic in season 7. We had Grissom, Warwick, Nick, Sarah, Catherine, and Greg. You know, dream team working together every day. And then they took a toll when Sarah leaves because of a lot of things. You know, mostly because she was kidnapped by Natalie Davis in season 7. But the team does find her then. Sarah leaves. And then they're down CS5, but that's, I mean, they manage without her.
A little bit,
yeah. They manage. I mean, they do see that Grissom is constantly, you know, getting more depressed by the day he was taking triples. And, you know, and then Warwick goes down a spiral. He gets killed. Sarah does come back to kind of be there for her family because they're the only family that she knows. But even Sarah wasn't fully ready to come back. Oh, sorry. I thought I saw something. Even Sarah wasn't actually ready to come back to the team. She wasn't a CSI because apparently when you're a CSI, you have to keep renewing your to keep her license up to date, and she hadn't, so she wasn't fully a CSI yet. Warwick dies, Sarah comes back, but she leaves again, and then they were down two people. Then they had to get someone in, so if someone new comes, it's Riley. And that's when the family starts to really go down, because, you know, shit hits the fan and they just become a very dysfunctional family. A family that loves each other, but very dysfunctional. Grissom was getting depressed by the minute. And then he, after leaving all the rest, which, may I add, is one of the most depressing, but one of the most beautiful CSI episodes ever. And I'm just, may I add something real quick. Jason Tracy, give me something like Leave Out All the Rest.
Maybe we can meet Max's ex-husband, maybe played by Rocky Carroll.
Give me something like that. Give me something emotional. Give me something heartbreaking. When I say heartbreaking, I don't mean put some character into a life and death situation. We don't want that. We don't want anyone to die. We want something heartbreaking, not
show shattering.
Yeah. Grissom decides to leave, and then the team was now down three men, and then Ray comes in. Things doesn't really fully work out. Sarah was, you know, coming and going, and then Sarah fully comes back. Nobody is sure why, though. I don't even think nobody asked at that point.
I think fans were asking for Sarah to come back.
I think Sarah wasn't fully happy. She was happy she was with Grissom, but she wasn't fully happy where she was.
That wouldn't happen being away from CSI and being with Grissom until years later.
Yeah, Sarah was happiest when she was being a CSI. I mean, not that she doesn't love being a wife, because I'm sure she does, but being Grissom's wife, actually. But I think that she would be happiest, you know, trying to make a difference in the world, because I don't like to say that she was owning something to the world, because of her past, we do know from her conversation with Grissom in the earlier seasons what happened to her. And she found herself, she found a family and this crazy hectic profession that she has. And then she comes back and then there's no leaders. The team wasn't really cohesive as it once was. And then,
like, she let everybody know.
And then that thing happens with Ray. Everybody has Ray back, Ray's back, but Sarah, she thinks that, something's up. She thinks that something is up, but she doesn't say really anything. And then Ray leaves. And then DB shows up. Catherine gets demoted. And DB
seems to support the DB right away, though. Nick and Catherine, not so much. Greg, I think he just rolled with the punches.
I think that at that point, Sarah, she was a really good CSI. She could have been a really great detective if she wasn't the best scientist. I think she saw the leadership potential that DB had. And I think she knew that that was what the team was lacking at that moment. They were lacking a leader, so to speak. So she had, like, in the very first episode that DB shows up, she and Nick have this huge argument, which we referenced last week or a few minutes ago, and then DB just shows up, you know, let's all have breakfast, you know, let's get to know each other. I mean, which I would have loved to see a scene in which, you know, DB is just sitting down with the team and they're having breakfast together, because I think it would have been a perfect mirror image to those earlier seasons when the team would go and have breakfast together. And although Catherine and Nick don't fully accept DB right away, they ended up, you know, taking him in. I feel like they were like, well, if Sarah took him in,
then her husband is the former supervisor.
I mean, as far as I know, her husband is the former supervisor. If she took him in, I mean, what's stopping us from taking him in? And ZB knew that Sarah was one of the best CSIs that the Night Shift has. He knew that. And he trusted her so much so that when she came in asking him to reopen the case that was already shut, to reopen the case because she trusted that girl, you know, because there was this one little girl that lost her family and an apparent.
Let's get to the last season. Let's go to one of the first seasons together, like the second or fourth episode together. Was our rushes into the lab looking fabulous?
Oh. I love that. She had just gotten off fourth, right? Love that look.
And because a body that was found is exactly like our former case. And when the people just got, oh, we found it's not her. And DB sees Sarah going to the deep end. So he asked for Catherine's help. And she said, just be careful with Sarah because she does get emotionally involved. Which honestly was a good thing that Catherine did that. Because I think that helps her not going too far. And to keep following the evidence. Because she did. And at the very end of the episode, DB sits right next to Sarah and just asks for a bunch of food, different types of food. snacking at foods. They'll take her out to eat somewhere, just the two of them. And they end up going with, I can't remember what food that she liked. Because he, like, mentioned Indian, Mexican, Chinese.
I think that's when Sarah realized she could trust Stevie. And I feel like at some point she felt more at ease with him.
Well, because, like, she does tell him that she has a mother in the mental hospital.
Yeah. I mean, she didn't tell... She had been working with Catherine, Nick, Greg, and Greg for more than 10 years at this point, and they never knew that her mother was in the mental hospital. And that she has met him for
a couple years. She told him technically a amount of years before Grissom, because she only knew him maybe like three, actually no, it wasn't 3 years by the time, maybe 1 or 2 years by the time she told them. And it was 7 years she knew Grissom by the time she told Grissom about her past.
I think she felt at ease with DB, and so I think that she thought that DB wouldn't be the person to judge what everyone
said. He was truly like a father. Yeah. I don't think that was a father. She had multiple father figures. But I think DB had a much more deeper father-daughter relationship with Sarah.
Yeah, not to discredit her relationship with Brass, but I felt like she was at ease with him. She probably told, like, when they went out to grab something to eat, she probably told him about her past, and she could have mentioned something about her marriage. She could have said some, the things were not perfect, and then that she and Grissom were having issues. I don't think Sarah would have been too open about her issues with Grissom with the rest of the team.
Because they knew him. In one of the first episodes in season 13, when DB's wife is in Seattle with the granddaughter and daughter, she actually, when he's trying to call talk to her on the phone in the desert, and instead of trying to contact Grissom, well, he knows where Timbuktu, that's actually a real place. She jokes about with him. It's actually their anniversary in this, Grissom and Sarah's anniversary in this part. I don't get the time because of how when season 10 started, they were married, they had to be past the honeymoon phase. But she talks to DB, says, "Joy is a long-distance marriage."
Also, there is that episode, and Grissom was supposed to be back from Peru, but he's not.
That's Timothy Grissom's before DB.
Yeah, that was a great episode, by the way.
That's one of my favorite episodes because of all the A sounds.
I'm sorry.
There's also another episode at the, like, Malice in Wonderland. At the end of season 12, because Grissom sends Sarah a plant saying sorry. No, I just said from Grissom. Never mind, didn't say anything. Just said from Grissom. Call back to William Nanos.
I think DB picked up those hints. He knew something was off.
Yeah.
He didn't pressure her into telling you. I don't think he would have done that. Because, I mean, I don't do that with my friends. I don't pressure them to tell me stuff that they don't want to. And, I mean, that's something that everyone should do. Not pressure your friends to tell you stuff. Because maybe they are not ready. And I feel like this is one of the reasons why Sarah felt completely at ease with DP. Like, that episode that a journalist dies in a live transmission, and then they go to this journalist's house, she and DP, and then Sarah makes a comment like, "Oh, my house looks just like this." And then she gets in the house, and then she's like, okay, maybe not that like this, because the journalist's wall was covered with newspaper articles about this other case that she was looking in. And then
that Grissom keeps calling her.
And she keeps dodging the calls. And then there's two scenes in the episode that I love. There's this, DB is trying to look for something different in the news transmission, you know, for the few days before the journalist dies, and Sarah just walks in to talk to him, and then they were talking, and DB tries to talk to her about the fact that she was dodging Grissom's calls, and then she actually shuts him off to call his attention to the news. And then another scene, I think it's with Finn, and she's trying to decode the journalist's diary, and Grissom calls her again, and then she tells Finn, I knew I'm going to be upset when I hang up. Because Sarah knew that at that point, what Grissom really wanted. And then, by the end of the episode, DB ended up encouraging her to take that call. And she does. And I feel like both DB and Finn kind of knew what was happening.
They were the only two that kind of knew what's going on, because everybody else was blind because they thought that they were happy.
Oh, come on. Those dumbasses couldn't see that that Grissom and Sarah were together. Do you really think that they would have paid attention that they were not together? Please.
So, as you guys can tell, when it comes to Grissom and Sarah, we're not always a fan of Nick and Greg.
Look, I'm calling Catherine a dumbass too. But look,
but Catherine would have been not so judgy against Sarah when things started to hit the fan. Even though Catherine was
no, I know, but let me just connect the dots. They couldn't find out that Grissom and Sarah were together in season 7. A serial killer found it out before then.
And season 7.
And then Grissom and Sarah were not together. Finn and DB knew Sarah for a few months at that point. Compared to the others have been working with Sarah for like 10, more than 10 years at that point. Finn and DB knew Sarah for less than 3 years. They knew that her marriage with Grissom was going south, and they knew of Grissom because of how people would talk about him, you know, almost as if Grissom was some sort of a god. But they didn't pressure her into saying anything. And then those two dumbasses, they take it personal because Sarah decided not to tell them. Well, come on. I'm sorry. You know, this is something that. Look, I think Greg and Nick have a great character development. Okay, I think they do.
But forget not, while it's one of the most well-acted episodes, it's a horrible, horrible episode for serial those characters have been known there for multiple decades, except for Doc and Sarah.
Look, I'm gonna say something here that I said on my Twitter. When Jordan Phillips announced that she wasn't returning to season 2 of CSI Vegas because William wasn't coming back, since the beginning, he kept saying that he was only going to do those 10 episodes. I mean, 9 on episodes and a half.
William Pearson was having health issues too.
And she decided to not to come back to season 2. We thought that she was going to, but she decides to not come back. And then I thought, well, maybe she's afraid that they're going to pull a Forget Me Not Part 2. This is what I thought. Because Forget Me Not Part 2 is Forgive Me Not is a very a stressful episode for Sarah fans.
And just talks herself.
Yeah.
She actually has, there's actually a picture of her standing at a wall with a tissue to her eyes during that, would you reading messages about that episode.
You know, her acting was beautiful, but the episode in itself was heavy. Because, I mean, in particular, like, when I watched that episode, it was a really hard episode for me to watch. But when I watched that episode, and I see how Nick and Greg were ready to throw Sarah in jail and forget the key, I was like, those two band were her friends for more than 10 years.
They were her brothers. How Star trained Greg more than anybody.
Sarah put herself in the line when the team was divided and when she decided to train Greg.
And then she left the team to go to Sweden so they would still have Grissom.
She was the one who was making all the sacrifices play. And then, because she is framed for murder, and those two were so, had such a blind loyalty to Grissom, they really thought that Sarah, out of everyone, Sarah was the one who would be who would most likely shit on Grissom.
Seriously. Weren't they there when Hank the dog, Hank the person dog, cheated on Sarah? Well, actually, he made some of the other women, but still. I will call him in other words, but I won't, because this is a family-friendly podcast.
No, if I was Sarah, I would have been really upset. And then the end of the episode, they close the door. And then to the break room, they close the door at the break room to talk to Sarah. And it is not to apologize.
They said they would have been there for if she told them right after that. But I think when this happened, if not long after she told them about old childhood. Because both Nick and Greg were raised by wonderful parents. And they took after their parents. Nick takes after his grandma. Greg takes really much after his grandmother.
Like, I was there, I would have been a bit upset with them. And then I think it would have taken me a while to trust them again.
Trust them with personal stuff, I was like, work with them still because I would have to just talk to the background about until
I'd still keep the walls up because those people have been working with me for more than 10 years at this point, almost 20, and then someone tries to frame, like, when they try to frame Warwick for murder, they were like, Warwick didn't do that, and then they moved.
I would think what's framed for murder. Catherine was right there. So, whenever anybody but Sarah was framed for something, anybody was right there immediately. But when Sarah was framed, useless. Except for Doc. Because he was like, I just want to follow the others. He did not want to frame Sarah or say she's the dead.
The one thing that Grissom taught them, do not get ahead of the evidence. And what they do? They got ahead of the evidence.
Yeah. Like, everybody else, find those two and the cop will follow in. Yeah.
I think that when I saw that episode and I saw how Finn and Morgan and DB, they were like, even Hodges, And, like, everyone was
just following the evidence and protocol, so.
Like. When I saw that Finn and DB and Morgan were on Sarah's side, and those three knew Sarah for less than those two dumbasses.
Those three combined knew Sarah less than one of them.
Like, seriously, dude, what? What the hell?
Yeah, all three of them combined only knew Sarah for 2.5 years. 2.5!
It's too upsetting.
Well, 3.5, sorry, it's 3.5, but still. It's still that less than half. Less than a quarter.
You know, I really think that after Forgive Me Not, I think DB would have given Sarah, like, a few days off to,
She did not take off time then, but at the end of season 13, she had needed to go to San Francisco for a case that she worked on there originally.
Yeah.
Guy was getting out and he told her to take a few days off. Then Morgan was kidnapped, so then she comes rushing back and it deleted the scene.
You know what? I really like to think that after what happens in Forgive Me Not, that DB, after they were done, like after the work was done, DB would have gone and checked on Sarah, take food to her apartment, her house, right? And then
try to help her pack up the pictures of Grissom.
And then they would sit. I like to think they would have had a heart to heart. And I feel like maybe Sarah would have cried, would have allowed herself to mourn for that relationship that she pursued.
But she never fully got over it, because you would see that in.
You do. And I feel like if DB wasn't. I don't think DB is the type of person that would hold grudges up, but I think it's. One of the things that I don't really like in Forgive Me Not is how DB is kind of like more. I know it's focused on that immortality is focused on Grissom and Sarah, but I would have loved to see DB and Grissom working together, especially because DB has this deep relationship with Sarah, and I would have loved to see that dynamic that DB, Sarah, and Grissom would have created together. I know they do have scenes together, those four have scenes together, but I don't know, I just think that would have been great. And I think that, like, DB and Sarah, they understood each other on a different level because they both were married. And their spouses, they didn't work. I mean, Grissom knew, understood, because he used to be a CSI, but I mean, it was hard for them to maintain a relationship outside of the job.
Go ahead, you've been talking, sorry.
Whenever they were off with their spouses, they could be called in at any given point because somebody would find a body, and they understood how difficult it was to leave their partners behind because their work was really important to them. And I think to some degree the bee's wife understood. She tried.
Until the death of Finn.
I think it was hard for DB to get over Finn's death, because even though they did have problems, even though he had to fire her for acquiring evidence illegally, Finn was his work wife.
And she was basically aunt to all of his kids.
Yeah.
Like, Charlie even called her aunt. What was I saying about? Oh, and also, I read these where they had DV and Sarah probably had a deep connection because they both have family members with the mental illness.
Yeah.
One with schizophrenia and one with paranoia disorder.
And also, like, I love how DB would have come up with his stories about being raised during the hippie movement.
Yeah.
Like, I think DB and Sarah both bonded over the, I think, it's like when you meet someone and you, and that person completely hit it off.
Like Kari and I.
Yes, like Bree and I. And the, like, girls are like, what the hell have you been on my life? Like, seriously.
Like, yeah, because we have so many similar interests.
Yeah. Kind of like, what were the chances? And, you know, like my favorite boy band says in their single Chances. By the way, go stream Chances by the Backstreet Boys. It's amazing. It's an amazing song. But coming back to DB. DB and Sarah, I think Sarah felt really at ease with DB. Maybe because she saw the same qualities that she saw in Grissom.
Well, but Sarah was raised by hippie, Sarah had hippie parents, and both of
them. Yeah, that was one of the things that bonded them together, too. And I feel like Sarah saw something in DB that reminded her, that could have reminded her of the best memory she had with her dad.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, from what we know from what Sarah says to Grissom and to
Grissom,
we do know, I mean, because when you were a kid, like, you didn't really see the bad in people when you're a kid. You think everyone is a good person. So she had this great, what she thinks it was, a great relationship with her dad. And then when she eventually finds out that, like, growing up, you do kind of remember stuff from your childhood that you didn't really interpret as in the way that it should have been. And then eventually she realizes that my voice is getting weaker. Eventually you realize that stuff wasn't going to happen in a way that you thought it was. But Sarah had very fond memories of her dad. And she saw something about that in DB. It's different with Brass. Brass was another father figure. But I think she was somehow closer to DB because he was an outsider. And I think Sarah saw that people, after she came back and started working full time in the lab again, she was always seen as Grissom's wife. She wasn't Sarah's side of the CSI. She was Sarah's side of Grissom's wife.
Yep.
But DB didn't see her like that. He saw her as a CSI, one of the best in the team.
And one of the most committed, probably.
Yeah, and then and maybe, I mean, as I said before, they DB and Sarah and Morgan, they all knew of Grissom. Morgan probably knew Grissom because of her dad. But they knew that Sarah was with Grissom, but they weren't kind of like afraid to walk on eggshells and say something wrong and then think that Sarah might say something to Grissom and then Grissom would be mad at them. They didn't think that. And I think that's really sweet.
It was.
So, Brie, what are we talking about next week? We have to stop because my voice is seriously getting thinner.
Okay, 1 second. We are It's a 1 year anniversary special.
Yay!
And we're having a special episode with the top 15 rated episodes of CSI, according to IMDb.
Yep, we're really gonna go trolling, and thank God. I mean, we're not good in science, but we're gonna try it. Still, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to us. See you next week. Stay safe. Bye. Love you.
I love y'all. We'll be right back.